Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Keep an eye on your investments in banks. They could be going through some rough waters as the Federal Reserve, by many accounts, gets ready to lower interest rates. We'll chat with a Journal banking reporter in a moment who will explain all this. First, some money and market news you should know. The Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement says that oil and natural gas production had begun to recover on Monday following Hurricane Barry's track along the Louisiana coast and then inland. Oil production in the Gulf of Mexico was running at about 69% on Monday, natural gas production at about 60%. Both are up significantly from Sunday, when production was at more than half of those levels, and both oil and natural gas futures traded down between 1% and 2% on Monday. And Facebook's upcoming cryptocurrency known as Libra has caught the eye of Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who says he has concerns that Libra could be misused by money launderers, and that any concerns about Libra, Bitcoin, or any other cryptocurrency are a national security issue. Cryptocurrency, by the way, enables people, among other things, to use and transfer money around the world at a cheaper cost than current options. Facebook says its cryptocurrency will be regulated by Switzerland's financial watchdog and says Libra would never compete with national currencies or challenge central banks like the U.S. Federal Reserve. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and President Trump have both voiced criticism of Facebook's cryptocurrency, and they want more details on safety measures. And some members of Congress have said they want Facebook to stop work on Libra until their concerns are satisfied.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
The happy days have been here again and again for the big banks, thanks to steadily rising interest rates. But with the Federal Reserve signaling a rate reduction is likely, banks could be in for a period of belt tightening. Let's talk with Wall Street Journal reporter Telus Demos. He's here in our studio to spell out some details for us. So Telus, you know, one way we can measure the profitability of banks is by what they charge for loaning out money versus what they pay out in interest. And what they make on loans is tied to those interest rates.
Banks' fate is pretty closely tied to what goes on with the Federal Reserve and the interest rate policy it sets. On the one hand, of course, banks are lending money out, and when the Federal Reserve raises rates, banks can charge more for those loans, right? So most consumers know that when the Fed raises interest rates, they get a letter from their credit card lenders saying the prime rate has gone up by 25 basis points, therefore your rate has gone up by 25 basis points. On the other hand, the bank pays you money to deposit with them. That rate is a little bit less tied directly to what the Federal Reserve does. That rate is really set essentially by the market, by what consumers demand and what banks can get away with. And for a long time, of course, consumers demanded virtually nothing because that was what banks were offering. The bank had very little incentive to offer more because the Federal Reserve was keeping rates pretty low. So consumers really didn't have much choice. Nowadays, consumers seem to have much more choice when it comes to where to deposit money. They can put it in a high-yield savings account. They can put it into a money market account. These are all sort of either cash or cash-like investments that pay more interest. So banks are facing the prospect of paying out a little bit more in interest. So when the Federal Reserve stops raising rates, a couple of things happen. One is that they are no longer passing along those rate increases to the people that are borrowing from them, right? So you stop getting that letter from the credit card company saying your rates are going up. However, banks are a bit reluctant to lower the rate that they are paying you on your deposits, lest you take your deposits across the street. And so in that sense, banks get squeezed.
You know, for banks like Goldman Sachs and Ally Financial, they've launched savings products to attract young investors. lowering already somewhat low deposit rates kind of puts them in a trap, like you said. It really can impact their ability to sell those accounts.
So some banks have already responded by lowering the rates that they pay on their savings account. That's sort of a defensive move from them. But those banks were the ones at the very bleeding edge of what rates were being offered to consumers in deposit accounts, like Ally Bank, Goldman Sachs' Marcus. They were already offering some of the highest rates in the market. And so them coming down a little bit doesn't necessarily really help the banks that were paying on the lower end, because they might still face pressure from people paying from what Ally and Marcus are still offering, right? They're still offering, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2%. That's obviously a lot better than the 0.01 or 0.05% that you might currently be getting in a checking or savings account.
Just going back now to interest rates, back in 2015 when the Fed began raising those rates, there were small increases, but they were increases nonetheless. The banks then repriced loans. That helped their bottom line.
So rising rates do help banks because they can charge more money potentially to borrowers. However, something else is happening that's making life hard for the banks, and that's the flattening of the yield curve. The flattening of the yield curve basically means that short-term rates are coming up and long-term rates are coming down, and so it sort of evens out, right? Which means that the banks, which typically lend out money at long-term rates and borrow money at short-term rates, are seeing less of a difference between those things. So even if rates rise, they're both rising kind of around the same, right? The long-term rates and the short-term rates are both going up about the same, rather than what banks would hope to see, which is long-term rates rising a lot more than short-term rates.
And that gap between short-term and long-term is some good cash profit for the banks.
That's really an individual bank's profit is driven by lots of things, what their costs are and things like that. But the core basic business of banking, of taking money into deposit and lending it out, is really closely related to those two things, to the interest rates that they are getting on loans and that they're paying to depositors, and the steepness of the interest rate curve.
And for retail and institutional investors who invest in the banks, there's been some good news here for the banks as well. And that is, even as the banks find they're making less money between borrowing money and lending it out, the consumers have done much better with managing their loans.
The news isn't all bad for banks, though. One thing that's been fantastic for banks is that most people are paying back their loans. One of the biggest risks that banks face is that they lend money out and it doesn't come back in. These days, it seems like consumers and businesses are paying their loans back at historically high rates. The default rate or the charge-off rate on bad loans has ticked up a little bit over the past couple of years, but is still at very low levels. This is somewhat surprising, given that the economy is strong but not entirely gangbusters, and that people have been worried that for a long time that because interest rates were so low for so long, that people borrowed so much money that they had over-leveraged themselves, that they were in too much debt, and that some of that debt would eventually start to hurt, especially when wage growth isn't phenomenal and corporate interest and corporate income isn't growing at quite the rate that it was a few years ago. But that just hasn't flowed through yet, whether or not that even will happen. And so for banks, that basically means that they've been able to keep lending out money without really worrying too much about whether or not it's going to come back in. And that's been a huge tailwind for banks, and is something that really has kept their prospects going even when the interest rate picture itself hasn't looked so good for them.
And then for investors, it's a good opportunity to follow the banking coverage in the Wall Street Journal, but also look at the earnings reports the banks put out to see what sort of language is used with reference to revenue down the line. What kind of impact do they see this lowering of rates by the Fed have on their bottom line and the quarters to come?
Every deal that you might get from a bank, whether it's your mortgage or whether what you're getting on a deposit or a savings account, is driven by that bank's policies in particular. But it's really important to know the macro environment and to understand both the pressures on banks and places where they could be doing better for you, but they aren't, right? So in the case of deposit interest, it's something that maybe you should be expecting more of. In terms of lending, knowing that default rates are pretty low, you may be able to get a better rate out of your bank because they have faith that you're going to pay them back. So these big picture macro things are certainly things that any individual consumer or small business should be thinking about as they interact with their bank.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Telus Demos here in our studio. Telus, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.